Welcome back. 35 past the hour. It's the Faith Radio Network. Bill Meyer here with you. He is America's, well, I would say, one of best loved pastors in this country. You hear him every day at 8 a.m. Central on the Faith Radio Network. He's Colin Smith. He's the pastor of the Orchard Evangelical Free Church in the Chicago area, the host of Unlocking the Bible, and he joins us live in the Faith Radio studios this morning. Good morning, Colin.
Bill, it's great to be with you. Thank you.
You were here for an event at the University of Northwestern campus yesterday. Had a chance to meet many Unlocking the Bible listeners.
We had a marvelous event last night, and I tell you, you have so many warm-hearted listeners who love the Word of Christ and love the Christ of the Word. It was just a marvelous occasion to be able to celebrate the power of the gospel. We're living in a culture that's moving away from Christian faith, but I tell you what, there are many, many Christians who are holding up the banner of faith and hope and love through Jesus Christ. It was a great night.
I love your optimism, and there certainly is a very powerful remnant in this country, and you know, our prayer, of course, here at Faith Radio is that more and more of our listeners will be bold in sharing their faith with others, learning how to do that. Your program, of course, helps in that way in a great deal. I thought it would be fun for Faith Radio listeners to get to know a bit about your personal background. I know you were born in Edinburgh.
That's beautifully pronounced. I love it.
Thank you. Edinburgh. I'll work on it. So you came to Christ at a very tender age. I think it was 6 years of age.
Yeah, that's right. I was born into a Christian family, and very, very thankful for that heritage. And it was through a children's talk in the Little Baptist Church in which I was raised that the Lord really spoke to me. Being in a Christian family doesn't make you a Christian. You have to come to faith in Jesus Christ yourself. And I did. I spoke to my father the following morning. It's all clearly printed in my memory. And that was the beginning of a genuine work of grace in my life. So I will say to people who have an unremarkable testimony, it's the same miracle of grace that happens in a person's life, whether you have the most dramatic story or the simplest story. It's God who saves, and he began that work in my life at a very early stage.
Amen. Tell us about your mom and dad. What did your dad do for a living?
My father was a policeman for 30 years in Edinburgh. And one of the great influences on my life was his integrity. And so I have always had a special interest in that profession, a special desire to pray for those who are called to the work of policing, particularly challenging in these days. But thank God for those who protect and who give the work of law and order serve in that way.
Yeah, I'm assuming you have police officers in your congregation. There in the Chicago area.
A good number of them, and thank God for them, and especially police officers who are given to integrity and are salt and light in that environment. We need Christians in every environment, and God calls his people to serve in every environment, so I want to be a cheerleader for that.
Now, your mom, did your mom work outside the home?
Only for a few years. She was a stay-at-home mom for most of her time, and then when my brother and I were raised and away from home, my folks started a whole new life. They went up to manage a castle in the north of Scotland. It was called Kilrock Castle. It was a guest house. All kinds of Americans came over there. It was the home of Lady Rose, Baroness Rose, who's now with the Lord, a single lady, and she had turned this ancestral home. It was the clan seat of the Rose clan in Scotland, and she turned it over to be a guest house. And so we used to have vacations there, you know, that was a marvelous privilege when our boys were young.
Wow, fascinating. And were there any ghost stories at the castle?
No ghost stories. There was a baronial hall. There was a dungeon in there. There were walls that at some points were about 6 feet thick. I mean, it was an extraordinary place. Went back, I believe, to the 15th century, and all kinds of historical visitors who had been there at various points.
Fascinating.
But to have it as a Christian guest house, which is what it was. My father would give devotionals in the morning and the evening. Some people found faith in Christ there, and a lot of people were refreshed by the opportunity of a vacation.
That's beautiful. Can you find photos of this online, this castle?
I'm sure Kilrock Castle is spelled K-I-L-R-A-V-O-C-K, and it's now run by a Christian organization. It's sadly no longer open to the public, but it was for these good years.
Wow. Our guest, Colin Smith from Orchard Evangelical Free Church in the Chicago area, the host gist of unlocking the Bible. We'll take a quick break and be right back here at Faith Radio. Welcome back. 41 past the hour. This is the Faith Radio Network. Our guest, Colin Smith. Colin is the host of Unlocking the Bible, which you hear every morning at 8 a.m. Central on the Faith Radio Network. By the way, if you are a regular listener to Unlocking the Bible and you'd like to pass along a comment to Colin, you can feel free to give us a call. Here's the number, 877-933-2484. That's 877-93-FAITH, if you'd like to tell him how much you appreciate his teaching and preaching on the radio each day here on Faith Radio. So, Colin, when did you sense God calling you to the ministry full-time?
Oh, that was early on in life. I really don't remember wanting to do anything else. I spoke to my own pastor in this little Baptist church in Scotland when I was 12 years old and said to him, you know, I would like to be a pastor. I wonder if God is calling me to be a pastor and so forth. And he gave, of course, very wise advice. He said, well, don't just do that because you think you want to do it. You wait and see if that becomes a conviction. But really, that was the story over the subsequent years. There became an increasing conviction that was confirmed by other people. I began to speak in my teenage years at some small events and so forth. Was blessed with these opportunities, and folks said, you should do this. So, you know, there are a number of things that confirm what is God's will for a person's life, and other people have a play in that, and your own inner conviction and sense of drawing is pretty significant as well.
Now, you went away to Bible college, so you mm-hmm. left Scotland to, I guess it was in London,
where you went
to Bible college, and then served as a senior pastor of an evangelical free church in London for many years.
Yeah, that's right. Met my wife, Karen, at college. We studied together, and I was just 22 when I went to the Enfield Evangelical Free Church, which is in North London, and we served there for 16 happy and blessed years. It was a tremendous privilege to serve that church. And when we came here, and we've only made one change in our lives, it was a pretty big change, but only one change. One of the reasons we felt free to come here is that at that point, I had an assistant who clearly was ready to take responsibility for a church himself. And he, in fact, became my successor. He's still there.
Really?
So that church has had two pastors in 36 years.
Mm. Now, I think I asked you this when we had you on a few months ago. How has it been for you when you look at the state of England now, the spiritual state of England? And, you know, you go back to London and you see mosques everywhere. Yeah. And certainly you see the huge influx of immigrants. But I think even more important than that is that the British people really, if I can use this word, falling away from the faith or not taking Christian faith seriously. That's got to grieve your heart.
Yeah, it does. There are two sides to the story here, though. Looking back 100 years, I mean, what has happened is that Britain has gone from what would be described as a Christian nation to something very, very different. But when the word Christian is used in that way, it actually includes a huge number of people who are Christian in name only. And what has happened in the UK and widely over Europe is that people who have been Christian in name only have kind of been washed out from the church. They're the ones that have gone. And so you're left with a relatively small number relative to what it was. But actually, the number that you're left with are people who really love Christ. And when it gets down to a certain kind of lower level, what's happened in the UK is that people have begun to say, you know, we need to pray more and we need to be more bold and we need to stand up. We need to take some initiative for the gospel. And I see a vibrance among Christian believers, a raising of the spiritual temperature relative even to 20, 30 years ago in the UK that I think is a very encouraging effect that has come out of the landslide away from faith. So that's the big thing that I pray for here, that if it is the case that the church gets smaller, it will also get stronger, that we might move from neither being hot nor cold, as it was said of the church in Laodicea, to a place where Christian believers really are on fire in a new kind of way. That will be God glorifying, and it will lead to real conversions. What we're interested in is not just having massive numbers in the church at the end of the day. It's that we would have people who really love Christ and live for his glory. And I see some good things in that regard in the UK that encourage me.
Mm. You know, you're not the first person who has said here in the States, we're starting to see the wheat and the chaff being separated, and that those who really are serious about their faith are going to have to stand up. And if they don't, their friends and neighbors are not going to come to faith in Jesus Christ. Yeah. So our guest, Colin Smith from Orchard Evangelical Free Church in the Chicago area, will take a quick break and be right back here on Faith Radio. Welcome back. This is the Faith Radio Network. It's Bill Meyer here with you. My guest, Colin Smith, who you hear every morning, 8 a.m. Central, with Unlocking the Bible, one of our favorite programs here on the Faith Radio Network. Colin, you have a brand new book out called Momentum, Pursuing God's Blessing Through the Beatitudes. You just did a sermon series on that. Explain the context of the Beatitudes for us. Who was Jesus addressing at the time, and what was his intent in delivering the message of the Beatitudes?
Yeah, well, it begins with his disciples around him. It ends with an entire crowd at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. And here's the Son of God speaking about what a blessed life looks like. I mean, could there be anything more compelling? No one knows more about blessing than the Son of God, and he's telling us how we can be blessed. The big thing that caught my attention here was something that I found in a number of old writers that I'd never heard before. And that is that there is order and progress in the Beatitudes. Mm. And when I began to speak about this, people kept saying, huh, never heard that before, but that's really helpful. And here's how it helped me. What we want in life, people want the blessings that are at the end of the Beatitudes, mercy or forgiveness, purity of heart, peace, being a peacemaker. The question is, we want these things, how do we get there? And the order and progress in the Beatitudes shows us that we begin with being poor in spirit, that we progress by mourning over our own sins, in other words, taking repentance seriously. And that's where the idea of momentum comes from, like swinging through a series of rings, which is the visual image that we use. There is a way of getting to these blessings that are laid out at the end of the Beatitudes, and the way of getting there is through the ones that are at the beginning.
So let's dive into a few of the specific Beatitudes. What does it mean to be poor in spirit? Jesus is not talking about material poverty there.
No. Yeah.
He's referring to humility, taking a humble position before God.
Yeah, and that's exactly it. It's to recognize that when I stand before God, I don't have what it takes. I'm just not in a position to be able to say, Lord, look at the life that I have lived and look at everything that I have accomplished. And so that breaks self-righteousness and brings us to a place where we really come to God empty-handed. One of the old writers that I quote quite often, Thomas Watson, says, you know, if your hands are full of pebbles, you can't receive gold. Mm. And, you know, when we come trying to make out to God that we have something to offer to him, our hands are full of pebbles. What we want is empty hands, that we're able to receive his gold. And that's really what it means to be poor in spirit.
It's a beautiful picture. Now, humility is not exactly a hallmark of American culture today. How can we go against that cultural tide and develop a true Christ-like sense of humility?
Well, I mean, I think the cultural point here, if ever there was a moment for Christians to pursue humility, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that in due time he may lift you up. Boy, we desperately need a countercultural community of people who model a different way from the kind of brashness and arrogance that we're seeing increasingly portrayed around us. But, you know, in many ways, I think what's happening at the moment is, in national life, we are seeing our worst sins being paraded before us. And I think if the effect on us as Christian believers is to say, boy, isn't that ugly, then that can be, in the providence of God, a great incentive for us to pursue the things that he calls us to anyway.
Mm. How do you think we engage with non-believers on that level? So they're looking at the culture, they're looking at the political situation right now, they're shaking their heads, they're throwing up their hands. What is the best way? I mean, you can't approach them with self-righteousness and mm-hmm. say, well, if you were a Christian, then you'd mm-hmm. act this way, or if this person was a Christian. What's the best way? Do you think the best way is to start with our own repentance and say, gosh, you know, we all are capable of sin. We're all fallen, and there but for the grace of God go I.
Well, I think that there might be a special opportunity here to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, our whole nation is involved in an engagement over leadership and character of leadership. What an opportunity for us to talk about. Wouldn't it be something if there was a powerful leader, a strong leader who was truly humble? Wouldn't that be something? And there's a door to begin to talk about Jesus Christ and to point out the humility and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, here's the one who has all power. And he comes into the world and he comes in as a servant. I do not come to be served, but I come to serve. And so any opportunity we have to hold up our Jesus, we should do that because he is compelling in himself when people can see who he is.
You know, and we need to paint both sides of that picture, right? That our Lord is all powerful, yeah. But that he was willing to completely humble himself, take on the form of a man and die on a cross. And for the average person in America who is, frankly, biblically illiterate, it's important for us to really, I think, start from square one.
Yeah, that's exactly right. And here's the amazing thing about our Lord. As you're pointing out, Bill, you have these extreme excellencies. I think that's a phrase that Jonathan Edwards used. And they're brought together in him. The greatest glory, the greatest power, the greatest might. And yet this humility of a servant, he humbles himself. And yet he has the name that's above every name. The compelling Lord Jesus Christ. Boy, do we need him.
Such a beautiful image for us. Colin, we've just got about a minute left. Jesus says, blessed are those who mourn. Is he talking about those who've lost a loved one and are grieving, or something else?
No, he's talking here about spiritual mourning. And the reason that I say that, of course, is that these blessings are things that we're to go after and get as much of them into our lives as we possibly can. No one would say that of mourning in the sense of grieving the loss of a loved one. But what we do want to get more of is a serious mourning over our own sins. It's not the intent of God that I will simply, or that anyone will simply, go through life with falling into a particular sin, saying, oh, I'm sorry, and then repeating a cycle endlessly without any real change there. Spiritual mourning involves coming to a place of actually looking at the cost that this is in my life, the cost that it is in the lives of others, and the cost that it was to our Lord Jesus Christ, and to take that in to such a point that I actually come to a place that the Bible calls repentance. That doesn't mean that a person will never fall again, but it does mean that a person's not simply blowing off our own sins, as it were, and then passing on to the next thing. So I think that where there's not real change, spiritual mourning is the art, the spiritual discipline, if you like, that God commends to us. And it's a gateway to blessing because it's the gateway to real change.
Colin Smith, thanks so much for your time today. Your own program, Unlocking the Bible, coming up here in just about 5 minutes on Faith Radio. May the Lord bless you in your work, and thanks for your time today.
Bill, it's a joy to be with you. Thank you.